We want to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Travelzoo. Travelzoo is trusted by 27 million members worldwide for travel deals. I never use anyone else when I book my trip to the annual seat cover convention, airfares, hotels, vacations, cruises, and more. Travelzoo deal experts research, evaluate, and test thousands of deals. Sign up for free at travelzoo.com or get the highly rated Travelzoo app on your phone. Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the May Day Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Now, is it May Day?
Well, since it's the beginning of May, we thought we'd let you in on a little personal information about my brother.
We would let you in on. I know
Tommy.
Nothing about it.
I mean, most people think of May Day as a labor celebration.
Yeah.
You know,
May Day.
May Day.
Like,
everyone.
I thought Labor Day was that.
Well, that's another one.
That's another one, right.
But since my brother doesn't do labor, we developed a different meaning for the holiday, an alternative.
As my son says, meaning. If you were on vacation, how would you know?
You see, several May days ago, I bought my brother one of those little ship-to-shore radios.
Oh, yeah, that.
And he promptly installed it where?
The dart. Of course.
So now whenever he breaks down, which is about every day, he just gets on his little radio and he says, May Day.
Amazing. It works.
And we sent Vinny out in the tow truck to rescue him. So for him, every day.
Every day is May Day for me. I have one quick letter, which I'm sure you will appreciate.
Yes.
From Carl and Pam Kulczyk, or as we say it in good old Warsaw, Kulczyk.
Kulczyk.
Kulczyk. Greetings from Des Moines. My wife and I are faithful listeners of Car Talk and are recovering survivors of the 6th annual Leisure Suit Convention.
Yes, yes.
That was held in our fair city. Words cannot describe the experience of reliving what was truly the bleakest period in America's fashion, music, and automotive history. In excess of 2,000 people filled the lava lamp festooned Val Air Ballroom. The Leisure Suit Fashion Show displayed the traditional colors that were found on AMC Pacers. Prizes were awarded for best dressed man, woman, couple, shoes, and the most flammable outfit.
I'm sure they had to do some real testing to determine this.
I wore a traditional robin egg blue suit. That is traditional.
Oh, robin egg blue,
white,
yes.
White shoes. Bought from the back of a station wagon. My wife wore a red, white, and blue pantsuit, red platform heels, and a scarf that made her resemble Mary Tyler Moore's illegitimate daughter. As the evening wore on, the combination of dancing, close quarters, bad cologne, polyester, and body heat created a true olfactory Hiroshima. All in all, the Leisure Suit Convention solidifies Des Moines' claim as the cultural mecca of Iowa. Leisure suits are it. I'm telling you. Well, Kyle and Pam, thanks very, very much.
Yes, for sharing that special moment with us.
The best line was most flammable outfit.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Lewis from Ann Arbor.
Lewis.
With a W?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Really? How'd you know that?
Well, most people spell it with the W.
Do they?
Yeah, no one uses the French spelling now.
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, I know. Anyway, yeah. What's going on, Lewis?
I've got a 1992 Plymouth Laser, and I don't know if the transmission has gone out or what. It was working fine, and it runs great, and
it
I love
just
the
won't
car.
Move.
Exactly. I can't get it to go anywhere.
Yeah, you were right. It doesn't go.
No.
It's automatic transmission.
No, it's a manual transmission.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And you put it in gear?
I can get it to run through all the gears, you know, with or without the clutch, and it never acted like the clutch was wearing prior to this.
Oh, in other words,
even with the engine running, you can run it through the gears?
Yeah.
Without stepping on the clutch.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this might be good.
Oh, no, it is good.
This is, I mean, it's bad, but this is, maybe it's good.
It's bad, but it's good. And what Tommy means by that is You don't need a transmission.
No.
You need a clutch.
Really?
Yeah.
It would just, like, go out like that?
Yeah, I think the clutch just disintegrated. You know what the clutch is made out of? What is the clutch made out of? The clutch is made out of basically...
You know what it's made out of? What's that stuff you buy at Home Depot? All the furniture is made out of.
Plastic.
No, that wood stuff that's...
Oh, press board.
Press board. That's what the clutch is made out of. I think it's made out of wood.
It's MDF board.
That's it.
Medium density fiber board. But it's actually made out of an asbestos-like material that is designed to convey the power from the spinning flywheel to the wheels of the car. And when that friction disc wears out, then it can't transmit the power anymore. And when that happens, you can also shift it without stepping on the clutch because...
Because the transmission doesn't know that the engine's running.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Because there's no link between the transmission and the engine.
Right, because the connection is that clutch disc. And when that's gone, and that can just disintegrate. If that thing just flew apart.
Yeah.
Or it wore out. Do you never noticed it slipping?
No, I didn't.
Did it take you like a real long time to get home the last time you drove?
No, it didn't.
But as far as you know, this happened like overnight.
Sort of.
And wait a minute. Did you lend the car to somebody who
I
then...
I did.
Ah!
No, you did?
Yeah, I did lend it to somebody for a week.
That's it. And it happened right after that?
Yeah.
Was it a girlfriend?
No.
Was it someone who didn't have a lot of experience with a stick shift?
Exactly.
Yeah, boy, you learned the $900 lesson. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair to the person who burned the clutch out, who was this anyway?
There's a buddy of mine who was house sitting for me while I was on vacation.
Oh, he owes you $500.
I'm going to hold him to it.
I would hold him to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it's very possible. It's very likely that your friend had a lot to do with the clutch failure.
All right.
Yeah, but if you want to maintain your... I mean, is a friendship worth $500?
Nah.
Nah. get the money.
Yeah. You can buy two or three more friends for $500.
Exactly. See you, Lewis.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kristen. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
K-R-I-S-T-E-N?
Actually, it's C-R-I-S-T-E-N.
Get out!
My mother didn't like writing K's, and so she gave me this spelling.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to be the only Kristen spelled that way in the entire world.
It could be.
So what's up?
I have a 94 Jeep Cherokee, and it smells like burnt rubber.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Under what circumstances? All the time?
No, it's usually like at least 20 minutes into the ride.
Mm-hmm.
When she's warmed up. And most specifically when I turn it off or, you know, when I'm parked and I walk out of the car, you can definitely, you know, when I open up the windows or...
Yeah. Oh, so the smell is coming from outside the car.
I guess so. We were sniffing around last night.
Yeah.
To the bottom of the location. I believe it's the front of the car, the front left-hand side of the car.
Who was
sniffing? You and your dog?
Who was sniffing around? Did you get some neighbors to come out and get on their hands and knees?
It was a party. We had a party around the car. My good friends and I, we were going out to dinner, and I told them that I had this problem, and so we all sniffed around the car.
You know, I never tried it, but it sounds like fun.
It must have been interesting to passers-by.
Yeah.
See a bunch of people on their hands and knees sniffing the tires.
It made us laugh.
No one lifted a leg or anything, did they?
No, we kept our legs down.
So, did you reach any conclusion?
Well, I think left side.
Maybe
left front. I have new front brake pads.
Oh, how long ago were they put in?
February.
And when did the smell start?
Maybe a month ago.
Okay. I have my theory.
Yeah, so do I. I'm with you.
Okay. Well, we're all set.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you can hang up now.
Okay.
If you want.
Right.
We're satisfied that we have a satisfactory answer. Well, it certainly could be. My first reaction was is your blower motor. I thought it was that, which is the electric motor that runs the heater.
Well, I have to say that my first reaction was brakes.
Well, I think I'm with you. I think you have, and I think Tommy agrees, you have a stuck left front caliper.
Okay.
And when you step on the brake, the caliper has hydraulic fluid pumped to it from the master cylinder, squeezes the brake pads, and so that's what slows the car down, you know, against the spinning disc. And in your car, unfortunately, when you release the pedal, the brake pedal, that is, the pads still stay in the position where they're squeezing the brake disc.
Okay.
And that's what's making the smell. And it smells like burning rubber.
Yeah.
It's burning brakes instead. There's no rubber in the brakes, but it could smell like burning rubber.
Now, is that something that would have happened in installation, or
no? It could have gone unnoticed when they did the brake job.
Right, okay. And it has nothing. They didn't do it.
Rats.
But get it looked at, because if it is a stuck brake, you could lose your brakes if they overheat enough to boil the brake fluid. So don't let it go unattended.
Okay. Great.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Peggy Wendell.
Hi, Peggy.
Stanwood, Washington.
From Stanwood?
Yeah. It's just south of the border.
What border?
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian.
I didn't think Mexico.
They might have moved it. South of the Canadian border.
Wow, it's way up there. Uh-huh. What is that province right above you?
It's British Columbia.
British Columbia.
That's BC, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is AD down here.
AD down here. So what's up, Peggy?
Well, I don't have a problem with my car, but I'm tired of being single, and it's really hard to meet men.
Yeah. Oh, so you want like a Dodge Dart swinger, huh?
Yeah. But I read a really great article about a woman who ran an ad for a 77 Chevy Malibu Classic, and she got tons of calls from men. She got a lot more calls from this ad than she did for her personal's ad, looking for a date.
No kidding.
And she suggests that you don't need to have a car to place an ad.
Well, you know.
Oh, so you're gonna put in a fictitious ad.
Frequently, yeah. The direct approach doesn't work. I mean, this is the way that all adult education has managed to exist. Low these thousands of years.
That's why my brother took those three terms of working with Lexan so he could meet girls.
Of course.
And literally know that all the other people in the class were all guys that were 65 and over.
They were all looking to meet girls, too.
So here's my question.
I like your idea. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, I have a question for you.
I know the question.
What's the question?
Which car should you advertise?
That's right. I want to attract a certain kind of guy.
Exactly right. And it makes a very, very big difference. Tell us what you're looking for, Peggy, and we'll tell you the car to advertise.
There you go. That's the
way.
Okay.
I'm looking for a creative intellectual.
Wait a minute. Now, let me get this down. Creative intellectual.
Are you reading right from the personal now or what?
No. Creative
intellectual. This is from my short list.
This is from
my short list or my long list.
Creative
okay.
intellectual.
Creative intellectual, yeah. Go ahead.
Witty and fun-loving.
Witty. Yeah.
Yet responsible and likes kids.
Responsible, likes kids. I see it all coming now. What age bracket are we looking at here?
Well, I'm 38.
I thought you were.
Oh, so anything between 19 and 64 is...
Uh-huh.
One
more thing. He should be outgoing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
By that mean, I mean...
Well, it's understood.
Going out to frolic with nature, you know?
Oh, buck naked mean? You mean?
Yeah,
an outdoorsy guy.
Kayaking, skiing, hiking.
Oh, excellent. Sort of excellent. That's very, very good. All right.
Well, the kind of guy that you...
I've got it!
...that you want...
I have it.
...is most likely to drive something like a 63 Dart.
A 63 Dodge Dart convertible. No, you want someone who wants to buy a Land Rover. You've got to advertise a 1959 all-magnesium body Land Rover.
Oh, I thought that was her, all-magnesium body.
And say that you brought it with you from Kenya.
Oh, that'll get the adventurer
right?
types.
The adventurer.
The swashbucklers.
The outdoorsy type, intellectual, creative. It fits everything.
Big game hunters. You like big game hunters,
well,
Peggy?
Well, likes kids. There's a lot of goats in Kenya. And you gotta explain that you spent many years in Kenya and you brought this car back with you, and it has the Rhino package? Is that what they have on it?
Yeah.
Has complete
leopard
with
skin seats.
With the Rhino package. Oh no. You would never kill a leopard to put seats in your car. That would be terrible. Oh no. Only the best leather.
Corinthians. You crush some Corinthians.
So that's what I would go for the Land Rover. You will get some very interesting people, especially up there where you are in British Columbia. You'll get all those Nanooks coming down, all those crazy guys.
Oh, yeah, those French-Canadians. They're wild.
Yeah, that's what you want. Excellent. That's what
Peggy,
I would do.
Do you really want to trick a man? I mean, this is the worst kind of duplicit, double-dealing. Might work, though, huh?
Well, I mean, I think it can work because when they call, you tell them to come on over. And as they get there, you tell them that the car just got sold, but you've got a chance to see them, right?
Would you like to build
I could go looking around in parking lots for that kind of car and just park next to it.
Gee, would you like to build a relationship with this kind of a falsified foundation?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, no, it's right. You have to buy the car.
Oh, it would be nice to really have one.
And that would
to buy the car.
You've got to buy one. And then when you know who you're gonna get a date with? The guy from whom you buy it.
Well, that's even better. Why don't you run the ad that says, I am looking for a 1959 Land Rover.
With driver.
Must have Rhino package. Please send photo of Land Rover and yourself.
Well, Peggy, I hope we've given you some help.
Oh, you have. Solved all my problems.
Gee, I hope this works. We could start a whole new business this way.
You've certainly been a lot of fun, and you're a good sport, and I hope you find Mr. Wright.
Oh, thank you.
Whoever he may be.
At least the right car.
See you later.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
All right, Tommy, it's time to find out if you remember last week's puzzler. And to do that, I have to probe the depths of your mind, the deep reaches of your synapses.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So hand me the rubber gloves and the gas mask.
We're going to be back in just about a minute.
Even though EPA scientists in biohazard suits wave people away from their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over a million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with four bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At TireRack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as one business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Another great answer to another great puzzler.
Indeed.
Yeah.
This was sent in by Bob Gossam, and he says, Some time ago, I married a woman with a Datsun B210, the famous honeybee. Wasn't she Gillis's wife in The Life of Riley? Small, noisy, reliable, and fun, both the car and the wife, he says. One day, I pushed on the brake pedal, and it went almost to the floor. I had owned a VW where this happened all the time, so I didn't panic. I just pumped it a little, and it came back. Anyway, I had the brakes checked out from stem to stern, but there were no leaks, no problems with the master cylinder. The calipers in the front were fine. The wheel cylinders in the rear were okay. But still, the problem persisted, but only occasionally. That sounds so good, doesn't it? After much observation, I determined it only happened when the car had been driven above 40 miles per hour for 10 minutes or more. Whew. Around town, no problem. Quick trip on the freeway? No problem.
No brakes.
10 minutes on the freeway, and the first time you touch the brake pedal, right to the floor.
Man.
After that, if I hit it again, the pedal would be okay, unless I continued to drive on the freeway, in which case it would happen again at 10-minute intervals, Roughly some such thing. You got it?
Yeah.
Because you must have gotten a little gun-shy of stepping on the brake.
Yeah.
Keep you looking at your watch, and while you're doing that, you crash the car.
Can't stop right now.
Anyway, he says, I took it to garage after garage, and they'd never find any problem with the brakes. One day, I'm having a beer with an engineer friend of mine, and I tell him about the problem and all the gory details. And just before he nodded off, he asks me one question and then told me what was wrong. And the question was, did you buy something recently for this car? And, of course, I told him, yes, I did. And the question was, what did he buy and what was wrong?
Wow.
And it was not a pine tree air freshener.
Well, I have no idea.
I was going to give an additional hint. I should have, perhaps, that he could have said, yes, I bought two of them.
Oh, I got it. Floor mats.
I can always count on my brother for thinking outside the box. What he bought was a new tire. And when they installed the tire in the car, they didn't balance it correctly or didn't balance it perhaps at all. And as the car is going down the road and the thing is shaking, it is setting up a sympathetic vibration in the disc rotor, which is moving the caliper piston away from the disc. So that when you step on the brake that first time, the pedal will travel almost to the floor. We've seen this happen with cars whose wheel bearings are loose.
I actually like this answer.
And when you step on it that first time, the
sure, that
brake
caliper
has to move.
Has to move much further away.
Because that caliper piston is now not touching the brake pad. And then finally, when it does make contact, the second pump is okay. And, of course, you drive along for 10 more minutes. The vibration occurs. And he said it was undetectable, virtually, because the car had so many other vibrations and moans and groans and whatever. He never noticed it. And the hint was that it was a Datsun B210.
No, I like that answer.
Well, I'm glad.
That's great.
Anyway, who's our winner, Tommy?
I don't know. I got to look on this little piece of paper. Ah, Erica Coffin from Austin, Texas. And Erica, for having your answer selected at random from the thousands of correct answers that we got, some of them on the backs of $20 bills. Erica,
Unlike yours, Erica.
Yeah. You are going to win a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk store on our website. And with this, you can get a copy of our CD, Maternal Combustion, Calls About Moms and Cars.
Which includes the call in which our dear mother, Elizabeth, revealed which one of us she loved the best.
Actually, I think she just wound up saying she'd take a bad case of bed bugs over either one of us.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzle still to come, so stick around for that. In the meantime, you can call us about your car. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Joe from Brewster.
Brewster where?
Brewster, New York.
Brewster, New York, huh?
Yeah.
Where's Joe? Where's Brewster, New York?
It's at, it's just over the Connecticut state border, kind of near Danbury, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Route 84 and 684 intersect.
I know exactly where it is. I broke down there once.
Yeah.
Hey, next time you break down, you can give me a call.
I will.
What's up, Joe?
Well, I got a 1980 Dodge Aspen Special Edition.
Yeah, that was a misnomer if there ever was one.
Well, I know that because it says it right on the hood ornament.
What, misnomer?
Special edition.
Special edition.
And it's a second car that we have. It's a commuting car that my wife uses to go to the train with. It goes about 10 miles a day, and I want to keep it running for a couple more years.
Sure.
The mechanic that I brought it to, I noticed there were some spots on the driveway underneath it. And
by the way, I'd hate to interrupt.
Go ahead.
At this early juncture.
It is your show.
Yeah, well, that's all right, but this just corroborates the fact that most men are cheapskates.
Well,
you among them, Joe.
Especially when it comes to their wife's cars.
Yeah, well, especially. But go ahead. Don't let me stop
you. I mean, what kind of a Porsche do you drive, Joe?
Well, I drive a Lamborghini. actually have the best of all worlds. I have a company car that's all paid for, gas and insurance
and
everything
wonderful.
Else.
Yeah, that's a deal.
All right, go ahead. Finish your story.
Right, so your wife drives 5, 10 miles.
I noticed that there were some spots under it in I took it to a local mechanic who I trust, and he said it's a radiator, and he said it costs about $400 to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to outlay that cash, and I'd actually like to give a shot at replacing the radiator myself. I've never done any work on a car. I consider myself, you know, a fairly intelligent guy. I don't, you know, put my hand in fire.
Well, that
I've never tried to
that
stop
you
a
out.
Truck using bodily force, so I consider myself pretty intelligent.
Well,
that,
I mean,
and I'm actually pretty handy.
How badly
And
is
I'm
it?
Wondering if you could give me some guidance as to a book or some sort of guidance on how I might go about replacing it.
How badly is it leaking?
Not very bad. I mean, I have to top it off about every 2 weeks or so, and it's only going about 10 miles every day right now.
Do you have any idea where it's leaking from?
I don't right now.
Well, the radiator is leaking. You know that much.
Yes.
Have you considered eggs?
Excuse me?
Eggs.
It doesn't have any odor to it at all.
No. Have you considered adding eggs? We had a caller last year that recommended the addition of eggs to a cooling system to stop radiator leaks.
Yeah.
Now, how the heck does that... Scrambled or...
No, I think raw.
Just a raw, cracked egg, right? I
think the whole egg. Or was it just the whites? I think it was the
entire
whole
egg. Yeah.
Entire egg.
You're pulling my leg.
No.
No, this is serious.
No, but Joe wants the challenge and wants the satisfaction more than anything of having changed
exactly.
his own radiator.
I don't want to. The price I got was $400.
Okay.
I certainly don't want to end
well,
up
here's the problem. $400
to do it myself.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
The first thing you do tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Go to Sears.
Yeah.
And buy a $300 tool kit. Okay?
Yeah.
But before you leave the store, you need coveralls because you're going to get dirty.
Okay.
So go to the clothing department and get yourself a pair of coveralls. They're about $59.
Okay,
what are we up
so
to now?
$359.
Okay. And you're going to have to get under the car. You're going to need a creeper.
A creeper.
Okay.
That's about $29.
Okay, so I'm still doing all right.
You're still
ahead.
You're going to need a gallon and a half of antifreeze. That's another $6 or $8.
Okay.
Hose clamps, $5.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, you got to buy the radiator, too.
And the
radiator.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
So that brings
us
up to 812.
Yeah, unless I can find another special edition 1980 Dodge Aspen just sitting on the street somewhere, you know, and I could do a little reconnaissance work. But,
well, I mean, here's the problem. That of the $400, the labor portion of that is very, very small.
Okay.
And so by doing it yourself, you're not going to save $400.
Might,
in fact, not save anything, as my brother has so aptly pointed out to you here. So it may, in fact, cost you more than $400.
But you'll have a hell of a tool set when you're done,
And you'll have the coveralls.
And I may have a radiator that's installed correctly. Maybe not.
And maybe not. You will not get a guarantee if you do it yourself.
That's true.
On the other hand, it could be a weekend well spent.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be educational, folkloric. It'll be something you'll be able to tell your grandchildren about. I mean, think of all the possibilities here.
Yeah. When I pass on the special edition to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can say, and granddad here put this radiator in himself.
And more importantly, your wife will be proud to drive that car to the train station every day.
Every morning.
Knowing that you have replaced the radiator for her.
I'll probably get quite a reputation at her work site. And,
sure. I mean, you'll be inundated with work. You'll be the do-it-yourselfer of the neighborhood.
All right. Now, if you want to get all this acclaim
without
spending the money or really doing all the work, here's what you do.
Okay.
If the egg doesn't work,
yeah.
I mean, the fact that you're only topping it up every couple of weeks means it isn't leaking very much.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that you might be able to stop the leak without ever removing the radiator.
Okay.
You can go down to your local auto parts dealer and buy something called Porter Seal.
Quarter Seal?
Porter, as in...
Porter. As in the guy who carries bags.
As in the guy who carries bags.
Right.
That's it.
Or AlumaSeal. That's another product.
Okay.
Not for him. He's 80.
Oh, yeah. No, AlumaSeal works on everything.
Either one. You buy that and you say, hun, you have to choose a day when your wife is not going to be around.
Okay.
And I would give it a whole day.
Okay.
When she's not around, you go out and you install this Porter Seal. You have to heat up the engine and do all this stuff. And you'll know within 10 minutes whether it worked or not.
Okay.
If it does work, you go right back to the store and you buy a can of black spray paint.
Okay.
And you spray the entire radiator. And you tell her, hun... At the end of the
day... You're giving away all of our trade secrets, man!
Wait a minute. I probably should take a little grease and a little radiator fluid, put it on my hand.
Oh, yeah. Smudge your face
with
some grease.
Smudge your face.
Okay. Maybe scrape a knuckle or two
for
effect. You got it, Joe.
Okay.
And go, what the, you know what to do? Go out and buy the creeper anyway.
Come up with all sorts of uses for it at home.
But seriously, the Porter Seal is very likely to work if it's a small leak.
Okay.
Right. Well, and she'll be thrilled driving that to work with the temperature needle on hot. Yeah. See you later, Joe.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Alicia Dixon.
Hi, Alicia. Where are you from?
Newport, New Hampshire.
Newport? Where's that?
That's what everyone asks. Well, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it is. Okay. I don't care then.
Right, because we'll never be there.
I mean, it's not like Newport, Rhode Island.
No, we're
okay.
Close.
So anyway, why did you call us?
Well, I called because I have what I think is a strange situation. The other day I started my car, and I had something that looked like a furball that came out of the back of my muffler.
Furball?
You coughed up a furball. What kind of a car is this?
It's a Toyota Camry.
Are you missing any pets?
How did you notice this furball anyway? I mean, what were you doing back there?
Well, I wasn't the one starting the car.
Oh.
But the car has been acting a little strange, and a few days ago I was getting on an interstate, and the engine wouldn't really, like, go when I pressed the...
Wouldn't rev up.
Yeah, excellent. You know what would cause that?
Well, I guess a furball.
A furball in the exhaust system.
Yeah, no kidding. So you were there by the... by the tailpipe, presumably back there to inhale some vapors.
I thought I would.
Okay, and someone else was starting the car.
Right.
And as it started,
and this
out
thing
comes
was
this little
thrust
thing.
Out at high velocity, or did it just kind of lazily dribble out of the tailpipe?
No, it coughed out.
It coughed, and it was so it was like a projectile.
Exactly.
A projectile furball.
And right. once it came out, did the engine run smoothly?
Well, there seemed to be more and more furballs.
Oh.
More and more.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
The cat isn't missing?
No.
That's why they call them catalytic converters, you know. No, but something was in there, obviously. Something furry. Some rodent. What do they call those things?
Rats.
No, they don't have rats in New England. Like bigger than mice.
Bigger than mice. Otters. Badgers.
Right, like, yeah.
Raccoons. Moose.
Chipmunk.
Chipmunk. Oh, cute little chipmunk.
Or a squirrel. Was it gray fur?
No, it was black.
Well, it would be black until you washed it off.
I mean, did you collect any of these furball samples so we could test them in the laboratory?
I have collected furball samples.
You have?
Well, don't send them to us.
But is the car still not running right?
Well, no, after we found these furballs coming out of the back. We took a coat hanger and pulled a lot more out.
Oh, you beast.
Uh-huh.
And I began to wonder, since there was so much of it, if I had a fur-lined muffler.
Well.
But I'm gonna suggest
I know
here,
what it is.
This car sat for some extended period of time without being driven.
No.
Several weeks.
Ah.
Ooh, that was good.
I knew that. No, I had this happen to a customer many, many, many years ago. We never...
Was she from Newport, New Hampshire?
No.
Do you know where Newport, New Hampshire is?
No, she was from Our Fair City.
Where is that? Springfield, Massachusetts.
She was from Our Fair City, and the same thing. In fact, her car wouldn't even run. And we got it to... It would barely run. You'd open the throttle all the way up, and the engine would run enough to make you go 5 miles an hour.
Right.
And the thing would just feel like it was all, you know, congested. And finally, a huge explosion.
Ooh, I hate to think about it.
Expelled
some
formerly living creature.
No, it's disgusting.
From the tailpipe.
Really?
Yeah, and it blew out all over Pete's toolbox.
Thank
God it was pointing in that direction.
Did you send it to the lab?
Oh, no, we all immediately shut down the shop. We called in the feds. But that fixed it. And something had crawled up her tailpipe and died in there.
That's a common occurrence.
I guess I don't understand how a muffler works then, because I thought that it was, like, closed off.
No, it isn't closed off. I mean, everything is open with various passages here and there, but there's a direct shot from the front of the car to the back of the car.
Yeah, except for the converter. The converter is like a honeycomb, but something can certainly crawl in the tailpipe and get into the muffler and, in fact...
And
maybe
stay
not stay there because it couldn't find its way out.
Right, it's sort of like a little maze.
If it was stupid enough to crawl in, it's probably not smart enough to figure out how to get out or turn around, in fact.
Yeah.
What should I do now?
Well, replace the muffler and it'll run like a dream.
Yeah, it does sound like a reasonable thing that some creature crawled in the tailpipe, walked right into the muffler, couldn't get out again, and all of a sudden you turned on the engine and you can hear that little squirrel saying, Sonia, Andy Stutu, and that was the end of that.
Well, thank you very much for your help.
Well, thanks for grossing us out.
No problem.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, Timmy, I can see by the way you're leaning over to the left that you need to take a break.
I was just trying to get that Twinkie out of your back pocket.
Oh, here it is. We'll be back with the new puzzler in just a minute.
And even though Mayflowers do a 180 and head back underground whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast of Car Talk comes from Squarespace, providing online tools for individuals and businesses to create a website. Squarespace includes hosting, 24/7 customer support, domains, e-commerce, and more. Now, Squarespace enables people to share their story online in a way that reflects who they are and what they're all about. Visit squarespace.com/cartalkair for more information and a free trial.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to, just when you thought it was safe, you're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Okay, I can hardly wait.
Well, I wouldn't get too excited. I have a long list of potential puzzlers.
Yeah.
I could use here, but I decided to use this one that my son handed to me, my teenage son,
yeah,
handed to me recently, that he got from some game that he has. And I can't divulge the game because
no,
if I gave
people
you the
would
name,
look up the answer.
You'd never look it up there. It's just too many. And I'll have to, I can't read it verbatim because that would be what? Stealing.
Oh,
I could be accused.
And you're
of
above that?
I'm above
oh,
that.
Oh, you
so
could
I'll,
be accused of that.
So I'll change the wording.
Okay, yeah. And throw a crusty here and in there once in a while.
There you go. Here it is. Long before planes were invented, some engineers were contemplating building a suspension bridge across the gorge, Niagara Falls. You know, there's a big gorge. You know what a gorge is?
Big gorge, hole.
A gorge is like a canyon with a river below. So you imagine this. You've got this river, and you've got these two walls that are virtually vertical. The river raging below,
yeah.
And you want to go from one side to the other.
Yeah.
You got the picture?
I got it, yeah.
You don't really.
I do. I got it.
Okay.
I've been there.
You've been there.
If I hadn't been there, I wouldn't be able to visualize what
but
you just said.
But there was, you wouldn't. I didn't think so.
No.
But there was no way to get the cables from one side to the other because there was no boat that could fight that current. I mean, they hadn't invented power boats at that time. This was in the days of steam, you know,
yeah.
Wind. When men were made of steel and ships are made of wood.
Yeah.
And anyway, they figured out they had to get the cables across somehow, and the engineers decided, or the builders, staged a contest open to the public to solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
The contest was won by a young kid, a boy.
Really?
And shortly after the contest was completed, they were able to run the cables from one side of the gorge to the other. The question, very simply, is... What was
the kid's name?
How old was he?
And what color shoes was he wearing?
What was the contest?
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's pretty simple. This may be completely bogus.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
As long as it's plausible.
It's plausible.
And that we won't get lots and lots of hate mail because someone has to answer all that hate mail, you know?
I get it. I just throw it out. Anyway, if you think you know the answer to this puzzler or you have access to free postage at work, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. Now, if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John calling from our nation's capital.
Hi, John.
Are you a lawyer or a politician?
No, I'm a faithful government servant.
Really?
Oh, a civil servant.
Mm-hmm. Very civil.
Very civil.
You sound civil.
Yeah.
No, I try. My problem is I've got my midlife crisis car. It's a red convertible Mazda Miata.
Red, huh?
Red. It's got to be red.
Yeah.
I've got a problem. I'm kind of cheap, and I want you to help me save some money. When I park it each morning going to work, I have a choice of parking it inside a garage or out in the open air. And I like to park it out in the open air because it's cheaper. But I'm afraid of what that might be doing to the soft top.
Uh-huh.
So I made a deal with myself or with a car that I would park it indoors on a bad day and outdoors on a nice day. But then it occurred to me that maybe I was getting it backwards, what seemed to me a nice day.
The sun might be doing it.
Yeah, that the sun was actually worse for the car than the rain.
Oh, absolutely. The only time the rain is bad is if the roof already leaks.
Yeah. Well, I lent it to my brother for 3 years, so then that was a big issue.
Yeah.
But now that he nicely replaced the top, I want to keep it nice and shiny.
Yeah. Well, as we know, it gets pretty hot in Washington, D.C. in the summertime.
Yes, it does.
And, I mean, you're obviously thinking that you're going to own this car for another 10 years or more.
Yeah, right? I've got a long midlife crisis plan.
Yeah. So you would think that after
all... plan. Jeez, how do you know you're having a midlife crisis?
Well, usually someone tells you. I mean, almost
really?
Always someone says, oh, midlife crisis, huh?
Really? Yeah.
I don't think you know yourself.
Is get a haircut enough?
No.
No, no one's ever told me.
Well, maybe you haven't had one.
I'm too old to not have had one.
Well, no, sometimes it's delayed.
Really?
You could have it.
Delayed onset midlife crisis?
Delayed onset midlife crisis. DOMLF.
F? Okay.
No, I started to say that you would think that with all the convertibles that I have owned, I would have some sense of what the deal is with convertible tops. And I don't, because I've never had a convertible top
that worked.
That worked or was worth saving. It was always a disaster.
Yeah, Tommy put his top down in May, and he put it back up in October.
Oh, what about that? I mean, I get pretty lazy in the summer. Don't like to put the top up if it's sitting out in an open parking lot, open all day.
You buy a car cover
and drag that to work?
Oh, that's a pain. We're talking about a Miata here. He can hardly fit in the car himself.
Well, you can drag it along behind you. Get a little trailer or something.
Trailer. That fits the midlife crisis. You might as well just cut your wrists.
But what gratification are you getting out of this car that is alleviating your midlife crisis?
Well, it's just the fun factor. I just love even just driving, commuting to work. It turns into a little adventure. The air,
sure.
The wind,
it's
in
absolutely
my hair,
wonderful.
And, you get the stray look once in a while. Like
good luck.
Like you think they're admiring.
You think they're looking at you, but they're looking at the car. I got
you might want to adopt my policy,
and that is,
Sean, which was, don't ever worry about the top. Just drive the car. If you're going to worry about it, you're defeating the whole purpose of the convertible.
Uh-huh.
The whole purpose of the Miata is freedom.
Right. You want to adopt that devil-may-care attitude.
Exactly.
You need to stick a surfboard in the passenger seat.
That's it.
Right? You don't surf, do you?
No. But,
well, you don't have to. The surfboard's good enough.
When I had my 74 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible, what a car.
That turned a lot of heads. Mostly from the tow truck drivers looking to take cars to the junkyard.
Well, I used to park it out in back of my office. And many times, I mean, I never put the top up. And many times it would rain during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who took care of the building. And he came running into my office saying, Tom, it's raining. The top is down. And I'd say, who cares?
I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
That's good.
It's only a car. And besides, the holes in the floor would drain the water right out.
Yeah. You need some holes in the floor.
Sort of a self-regulating system, you know? So I wouldn't worry about it. Forget about the top. The top will be there. Don't worry about it.
Just grab for the gusto.
Go for the gusto.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll defeat the purpose of the midlife crisis. Yeah. You are having a midlife. The very fact that you called us with this question means that you are in the middle of a midlife crisis, worrying about stupid things like money.
There you go.
Yeah, let it go.
All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Have
that.
A wonderful time.
Thanks.
And you'll see tomorrow on your way to work.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be sitting at a light and some woman's going to pull up alongside you and say, "Hi." And you'll probably pass out. Oh, I wish you the very best. I wish you the best, John.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a million.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, don't worry. You're going to be fine. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Couldn't you just see her?
I could just. Yeah. I had a mental image.
Yeah, and she's going to be driving a Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to just leave this Miata by the side of the road.
Side of the road.
With the keys in it.
Screw it.
Right. Not going to go to work.
Who needs a car?
And he's going to wind up in Ensenada.
Right. Oh, selling candles in the street.
1-888.
Oh, saying, lucky dog.
Down in Louisiana. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan calling from Unity, Maine.
Susan.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I have an 84 Ford Ranger pickup with a billion zillion miles on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would believe that.
The problem with the truck is twofold. The truck stalls all the time, all the time, winter, spring, summer, fall. When I'm happy, when I'm sad, it stalls all the time. And my question is this, and we've gotten it looked into and we can't figure it out, and my husband and I are willing to live with that. When the truck stalls and I'm going through a rolling stop, like a yield sign or perhaps a stop sign, I'm rolling along, and I put the clutch in, I can pop it and start it again.
Mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
I can turn the key and get the engine to start that way, too.
Yeah.
And my question is pretty basic. Which is better for the truck?
Which is better for the truck.
So you don't want to solve the stalling problem. You want to know what is the best way to restart it.
Well, if you guys can, I would love you forever if you could solve the stalling problem.
If we couldn't?
I'd still love you forever.
Oh, good.
Well, I mean, I suppose a lot of things have been done.
The carburetor has been rebuilt, and then that didn't fix it, so the engine was rebuilt.
Ooh.
And that didn't fix it. To give you a little bit more information on that, the truck only stalls in the good weather when you're coming to a stop and you put the clutch in and the truck stalls before you come to a stop.
Yeah.
The truck will stall much more regularly in the rain. And, in fact, more interestingly enough, if you're going along, kicking along at 50 miles an hour, it'll lose power in the rain. And sometimes you can get it revved back up again by putting your foot on the clutch and just pumping the gas and volumes of black smoke come out the back before it coughs into life again.
We'll throw out a couple of things, which you may have had done already. One possibility is you have a weak ignition module or a weak coil.
Mm-hmm.
And either one of those things could cause the problem you have, but it's more likely it has the feel.
Has the feel for me also.
Of a
fuel-related problem.
No, not to me it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, it has a feel of a vacuum problem, and I would have to guess.
Well, that's fuel-related.
From my vast knowledge of Fords, that it could easily be an EGR valve that's hanging up and not closing, thus creating, in a sense, a vacuum problem, but it's even worse than that because you're sucking in not fresh air, that's in disproportion to the amount of gasoline, but exhaust gas from this EGR. So you might want to have someone yank the EGR valve off and check to see if the problem gets solved by testing it. It may be just sticking. It may need to be replaced. The port may be carboned up. Any one of those things.
Okay.
Now, to get to your other question,
we're going to disagree on that, too.
You're going to disagree on that?
We are.
Oh, good.
Well, we'll see. Go ahead.
We'll see.
Go ahead.
Well, here's my rationale. Turning the key is the way the car wants to start. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to start. You turn the key to the start position, and it starts.
Right.
And
so anything you do that deviates from that,
well,
that
wait
is
a minute,
an affront to the car.
Exactly. Well, I'm not finished yet. On the other hand, popping the clutch, you might say, not on the same hand, you might say popping the clutch is a traumatic kind of way to start the vehicle, but I like it.
No, I mean, the reason that turning the key is the time-honored method of starting the truck is that that's the only method there is, unless you are parked on a hill, in which case the truck would be perfectly content to just have you roll down the hill and pop the clutch
right.
and start it that way.
And if you're moving, you're essentially rolling down a hill, even if it's not a hill. You got the thing moving. I would pop the clutch.
Ah.
We don't disagree on this one. Oh.
Isn't that bad for the clutch, though, or not?
No.
No.
It's hardly any hardship for the clutch, which is which
in fact,
is
it's
designed
less,
to endure much greater punishment than that.
It's less wear and tear on the clutch than you would inflict by starting from a dead stop.
Got it.
So that's what I would do.
Good.
But I'd get the stalling problem fixed. That's
nah,
what I would do.
Why bother now? She's got the answer to how to start it.
Check the EGR valve.
But, hey, Susan, you have
check the module.
You have introduced an extraordinarily interesting little theory here.
And what is
you
that?
You said it stalls all the time, winter, summer, whether I'm happy or sad. You're suggesting
that mood has something to do with it.
That there is some relationship between how you feel and how the car feels.
Oh, well, you could discuss that with my husband at great length. He thinks that I hate the truck, and that's why it always acts up on me.
Oof.
I think he's partially right, but it also acts up on him.
Yeah, I think that you are absolutely right that a person's mood and attitude, especially attitude, if you've got an attitude, that vehicle is going to have an attitude right back.
Should I seek counseling for this?
Newton figured this out. For
not,
every
not for
attitude,
you.
There is an equal and opposite re-attitude.
The attitude.
Be-attitude.
The hey. Truck needs counseling.
Thanks,
okay.
Susan.
Well, there you go.
See
you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Wasted. Just wasted. You've wasted a whole hour.
I guess so.
Hours. I mean, you could have had so much done.
Yeah.
Instead,
like
what?
A flea dip in a pedicure. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Biarritz, Harmony Grits, Bacon Bits, and Banana Splits, live by your wits, but eat with your mitts, lunch and blitz, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our rock and roll historian is Bruce Wade Hughes.
Ben Hur, I just
our
got
Russian...
that one.
So we've been using him for 5 weeks. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Harvard Square professors in tweed cargo shorts as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1518, download other Ajuda-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also get answers to your car questions. I know it seems unlikely from Car Talk, but lurking on the Car Talk community pages are real mechanics who actually know something. Now, if you have a question, try it out. Car Talk community over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's structural engineer looks both ways, then pulls out the I-beam under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.